broadcast. You're a part of the resistance.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Resistance Broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning or whenever you're watching us. I'm John Hoey. We have a great show for you today. James is waving like a madman. You know why? Because he's so excited about all the stuff we're going to talk about today. Star Wars news is starting to ramp up. So are rumors. There's a lot to get into. We're going to talk about it and also, of course, get into your questions. So thanks for joining us and let's get it going. James, Lacey, how you guys doing? Happy Monday. What's up?
It is official. It has been recorded in canon that in the Star Wars movies, all of them so far, the word yes has been spoken 196 times, and the word no has been recorded 647 times, which is way more than yes. But that showed up on the Star Wars Kids channel, and they ran through and cut every yes and every no. It was amazing.
Imagine being that editor. They're like, okay, Bob, so today you're just going to cut together every time no is said. He's like,
well, they
what?
Apparently don't think it's going to be a big deal because it ends with, hey, like, if you want us to count more things in Star Wars, yeah. submit them in the comments.
It was very, very cute. Hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah. Happy Monday. Excited to talk about Star Wars.
That has to be an intern job. Like, we'll give you college credits if you count every time someone...
Well, I'm sure they look it up and then someone else gets the time code and then they cut it.
And Pablo Hidalgo probably already knew. And he's just like, I'm just not telling you. I'll tell you if you're correct.
800.
They bring it to him. They're like, Pablo, I counted 647. He's like, wrong. Go back and count again.
Try again.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back to the closet.
He's like, I'm going to go back on Twitter and yell at people. All right, guys, we are going to fire through these poll results because we got some news to get into. The poll results are going to have a little extra thing added on the end, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a little bit. We simply asked you guys, who's the best pilot in Star Wars? I know that's debated quite a bit over the years. A lot of people were wondering who it is, and we have the results here. So this is official. This is Resistance
canon.
This is Resistance Broadcast canon right here, folks. We had a lot of responses, a lot of good answers and comments, but I like the results because it wasn't 90-10.
We had
13% of you out there said Harrison Dula from Rebels. 16% said Poe Dameron, who is currently allegedly the best pilot in the Resistance and in the galaxy. 33% Anakin Skywalker. And the winning vote, which made me very happy, 38% Han Solo. So you guys voted correctly in my eyes. James, Lacey, what do you guys think about the results here?
I think this is one of the hardest polls you've done in a long time because even though the results show 13% at Hera and Han Solo at 38, like I'm looking at these four options and I was like, they all could be the best. All of them.
They all have realistic
merits as to why they were the best.
And Ralph Macchio is the best pilot in Star Wars.
Yeah. It has to be Poe for these reasons. And then I'd be like, But Hera did this thing, you know?
That's a good point. They all had a moment where it was like, whoa, like Anakin landing
no
that half broken
could
ship.
Compare with that.
Yeah.
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 And then like Han Solo was a good one, like trying to like, you know, run the astronomical odds of the asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked Matt Martin from the story group and he's like, got to go with Anakin because he has the Force on his side. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. Like, or does
Matt,
the Force
why
even
did you
just
do that?
Help him? Help him get to a point where he's just as good as Han Solo naturally. You know what
hurts Hera a little bit, James? And Lacey, you weren't here for this, but James conducted an interview with Hera herself, Vanessa Marshall, for the podcast.
Who's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
And we asked her what ship is better, the Ghost or the Millennium Falcon, and she picked the Millennium Falcon. So even Hera takes Han's ship. So that's, you know, we can say about that, right?
I was curious too. Like, it would a football
and she is
player,
really nice, by the way.
She's lovely.
Would a football player with the Force be as good at ice skating as an Olympic ice skater? Does that kind of make sense?
Your analogy is always drive me nuts.
But like, is Anakin not a good pilot, but he has the Force, so that makes him as good as a pilot as, say, Han Solo, who's just naturally the best pilot. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I don't know, but
it's tricky.
We had a best Lacey, comment, guys.
I didn't get
did
to
you,
answer.
Who did you vote for?
Fine. I guess you can just skip over what I think.
No, go ahead, guys. Go.
I chose Han Solo, obviously. Because
drum
he's
roll.
The best. He's the best, and all I could think was, I'm a driver. Darn it. Damn it. I'm a flyer. I got kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. And I was like, of course he's the best. And you can't watch Solo, a Star Wars Story, and not leave that movie going, he's the best pilot.
Yep.
And everything else he's done in the course of the Star Wars movies, he is the best pilot. So, yeah, that was my answer.
We already
Thanks
got the
asking,
pilot.
Thanks for asking, John.
The best comment went to Christopher W. at Sing for the Day. And he said, I'm not such a bad pilot myself.
Is he a pilot?
So,
I don't know. But that's what he said. So I believe
it. In this next segment, we should have included Christopher W.
You know what's funny, Lacey? We're going to be on our flight, our flight to Celebration, and it's going to be like, this is your captain speaking. My name is Christopher W., and I'll be taking you to Chicago, and we'll be landing above. And be like, wait, that's the guy who commented. At least we know he's not a bad pilot.
So, and then John's going to look at me, and I'm going to go, I'm a driver. Damn it.
And then I'm going to do this.
For having a mind of my own.
I'm going to start drinking.
A bag of salt, like, I'm a pilot.
No, that's like the trailer goes, din it.
No, I know what you're doing.
Yeah. It's Lacey's marbles because she lost them. Yeah. All right. So, guys, what I said about the end of the polls, we hit up our patron officers, and we said, who was snubbed from the options that I put out there?
Tyler
and
you Ray. All
and our patrons voted to a tie, and they said Luke Skywalker and Wedge Antilles were snubbed off the list. So we are officially acknowledging that Luke and Wedge should be a part of that. So thank you to our resistance officers on our Patreon page. We appreciate that.
Those were good choices too. Like Wedge is amazing. Luke is obviously
James.
Amazing.
You know what? You
like,
know what's funny? I and Lacey, you'll probably like this because you hate this character. I forgot Chewie on both lists.
I thought you were going to say Tally. I was going to say, good, she shouldn't be on there.
Oh, yeah, you don't like Tally. Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Do you guys know that in the comics, Luke goes straight head-to-head with Darth Vader, like in a chicken?
When?
Did you include Kylo Ren in this list?
I didn't.
No, he didn't do that one either.
He's a great pilot.
I did that on purpose.
Learned from his dad.
I did that on purpose.
StarWars.com said he learned from his dad, so his dad's the best. That means he's second best.
He learned from his dad, but his dad abandoned him. Just pick one, kid. Jeez. All right.
It's Han Solo.
James, we got some news, right? So why don't we let Han Solo tell us if the Resistance is coming? In the Resistance Report. Take it away, Han Solo.
It's the Resistance.
All right, the Resistance.
Yeah, he did it. He did tell us. Yes, thank you, Han.
It's because he knows Lacey.
Oh. And he's like this,
he's
doing it.
At her. Yeah. All right, the news this week, let's get started with this first one. So there was an interview with Bob Iger, and in the interview, they were talking about the possibility of some of these, you know, what kind of movies are you going to be bringing to the streaming service? And he had this to say, which is, you know, hey, you know, we've got like 10 movies that we have in mind, and you know, none of these at any point were ever like considered to be big screen movies. Maybe one, but The overall consensus is that the movies that we put out in the theaters are big $100 million movies. And there's no way we're going to make those movies for our streaming service. We're really going to be focusing on TV. Let me just put it this way. And this is the reason it's in a Star Wars podcast. he said, we're not going to be putting Star Wars movies on the streaming service. Just straightforward, just came out and said it. You're not going to get Star Wars movies on the streaming service. So this immediately, I mean, like, we were talking about it but behind the scenes, the Resistance Broadcast, Star Wars News Net. Well, that squashes.
It immediately Obi-Wan. Kills half our Will of the Force topics for the past.
Yeah, yeah.
thanks, Bob.
Thanks,
no,
Bob.
No Obi-Wan movie for the streaming service specifically.
Right.
No Solo 2 right. for the streaming right. Series. So I'm gonna jump to Lacey first. What were you thinking when you heard this news? Were you bummed, or were you like, well, obviously they're gonna make Disney Star Wars movies for theaters, right?
So I'm gonna say both, because it's an obvious thing that they're gonna make them for the movie theater, because it's a movie going experience. You want to see Star Wars on the big screen. It's a whole thing. You get your popcorn, you know. You go to the movie marathons, you wait in line to go get your seat, stuff like that. Like, I totally get it. And I love that experience. And I'm all about it. You're talking to someone that saw The Last Jedi like 8 times. However, it kind of bums me out, because of something like a Solo 2, if they were going to make a movie for their streaming service, that could open up doors for movies that maybe they didn't want to take the risk on the movie theater. Because as we've seen from services like Netflix with their movies like Bird Box, I mean, that thing was so popular, and they made that just for the streaming service. And then you have movies like Roma, which are on the streaming services that aren't in movie theaters, because they're allowing these movies to have a bigger distribution without the risk of being in a movie theater. And if you think about Solo, no one ever said it was a bad movie. They just said it didn't deliver based on movie its reputation in the movie based on a box office. So if you take the box office out of it, that movie probably would have done a lot better if it was only on streaming.
Now, Lacey, Smalls bounce back on that too. Roma, Bird Box, but budgets. Come on, like, you're not going to make a Star Wars movie
Game
for
of
those
Thrones,
budgets, right?
Game of Thrones and The Mandalorian have $100 million budgets, so it's no different than doing bigger budgets for movies or smaller budgets for movies too, because they do both.
All right, good answer, John. I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to say,
I was actually very knowledgeable with that one.
I'm going to say, all right.
So I can't even answer anymore.
That makes sense. They don't want to put these big shows these big events on these streaming service. But at the same time, they're making Star Wars is saying 8 episodes of The Mandalorian at 45 minutes a piece. That's 6 hours. That's a
trilogy. And
$10
million an episode.
And that's just the first, season of mm-hmm. this thing, you know, and they're doing two, so it's like, and then they're doing Cassian Andor, so that's like, let's call that another 6 hours of content. Like,
right.
That's insane. Why don't they have the room to make a 2-hour movie?
Yeah, to me, Disney is all about protecting their established branding. And when you buy Star Wars, you're buying the event of going to Star Wars movies. And if you take one Star Wars movie and say, this is for this, you don't have to leave home, you stay on the couch, you microwave your own popcorn, and you do that, you immediately dent the spectacle of an aura of going to a Star Wars film in the theaters. And Bob Iger, the strong, smart businessman he is, probably knows that you need to cut that line and keep it firm, where it's like, this is here, we're doing this new thing here, but this is staying exactly where it belongs, and we'll show you exactly why it still belongs there.
Especially because it's hard enough to get people into the movie as it is, so there's only some movies that get them there, and so far Star Wars is one of those brands that gets
people into
the
And look at the
theater.
Reaction of everyone going through the loss of, or the emptiness of, not having a Star Wars movie this past Christmas.
It was so apparent. Oh my gosh.
They know that. And I think going back to what he had said about, we're rethinking the plan about the movies and stuff, because they were not doing the Marvel thing, but they were flirting with, is it possible they're going to do 2 Star Wars movies a year? Like, there was talk of that. I don't know if it was real talk or rumors.
I can't help but wonder what, like, if there was a Star Wars movie this December, whatever it was, right, how that would have impacted the movies that are out right now that are doing really, really well.
Oh, those
like
movies,
Spider
those,
Into the Spider-Verse is doing great, and I heard
some of those movies
movie.
Would have moved their opening.
Into the Spider-Verse would have been unaffected in my
at
mind.
All?
They could have released it at this. Yeah, they could have released it at the same time. It would have been counter-programming. It would have been fine. But
sure.
Movies like Bumblebee and Aquaman,
Bumblebee,
I feel like those would have shifted around. They would have put. They would have put Aquaman.
Yeah, they would have
like,
moved their
in
dates.
February of next year or something. They probably would have moved Bumblebee like to like an August or September release.
Right.
Maybe not. I don't know. But somewhere in there, you know.
Right. It's just interesting to consider.
I think that rethinking has a lot to do with it, and maybe part of that rethinking is we have to make the Star Wars movie going thing special again, and that has to do with maybe just one movie a year, maybe do it once every other year, and rely on these. The streaming service to fill in those odd years, sort of thing.
John, are we going to do the marathon this year?
What marathon are we doing?
Are we going to do the fan event that they do where they watch all three back to back to back?
I mean, I'm down if that's happening. Yeah,
why
not?
Are we going to do that?
James,
are you going to drive out from Ohio and do it with us?
I still have to say this. I still, and maybe I shouldn't reveal this. There's something I want to, there's something we have to talk about doing because I don't want to reveal it now because I don't want other podcasts to take it and then pretend it was their idea.
Spoiler alert.
But there's something I want to try to do, and I think there would be.
That's a teaser, not a spoiler.
Oh, that
alert.
Is true.
I think
like
it would be,
terms,
I think it would be absolutely insane if we pulled this off, but we'll see. All right. So that's, yeah, that's my take on that, James. That's why I think it's very important to not blur those lines and
right,
dent
well,
the brand.
I think you guys are both 100% correct. I think that this is a huge marketing move. I think John is like really nailing it on the head because it's it is possible for them to put these movies in on the streaming service. And of course it would cause people to go to the streaming service, right? But there's a line there. And you also got to remember too that Disney has another product, and that product is their big mainstream movies getting people to theaters, right? If you take Star Wars out of the equation and you start putting that on the streaming service, then you don't have those in your face like big movies out there with all the crazy publicity and
Star Wars becomes like Battlestar Galactica. Then it's like, oh
yeah,
there's a
like,
Star Wars movie on Netflix now, cool.
Right. Just think of it as two different products. You have your television product and you have your movie product. And while I know both of them are movies, my point is that if you pull Star Wars away from your movie product, then your overall like view of Disney in the public eye goes down because you don't have these big public movies out there.
Right. You know, James, I was thinking, I'm picturing the boardroom, the Disney boardroom, and Bob Iger is at the end and he's got his big chair and he like, does the hydraulics to lift it up? Because I don't know how tall Bob Iger is, but when he wants to get, he
I
gets
think
big.
He's super tall.
So then he's
I'm
like,
I'm pretty
this.
Sure he's big.
He's
a
like
big guy.
This, and he's like,
I'm going to Google that.
All right, who has ideas? And someone's like, I think that we should put Star Wars on the Disney Plus service, the movies. And Bob Iger just reaches over and hits a button. And like Dr. Evil, the guy falls back into like a fire pit down in the basement.
Bob Iger is 6'1.
Oh, okay. That's my height. There you go.
Yeah.
Let me actually give you a good example too. When the Disney Channel first came into being, at the time they were licensing all their Disney stuff to other stations. And then they thought, why would we do that? We should create our own station. Does right. any of this sound familiar? We should create our own station and put our own content on there. And I'm sure at the time somebody came along and said, whoa, Disney Channel, does this mean that you're going to stop releasing all of your classic animated films like Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King? Are you going to stop doing that and now put all of those animated features onto your Disney Channel? You know, and pay for the cable subscription.
And they were like,
no, we're not doing that. We're going to continue to make those movies for the giant public. And we're going to have alternate programming.
Yeesh.
That is, I don't want to say lesser, but because we're in a different day and age, it's golden age of television. So all these television programs are going to be good. But at the time they had a certain idea and a certain product that they wanted to sell on the Disney Channel, which
right.
is the, what the same model for the streaming service.
But they did raise now, the park prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no matter what happens, we definitely know that Bob Iger is not going to be sending out cups and hoodies, right?
Well, he might not be.
Thanking people for joining the streaming service.
But somebody else might.
Yes. J.J. Abrams and crew, everybody involved with the, in the higher-ups at Lucasfilm involved in Episode 9, have been sending out gift baskets, if you will. Certain things to certain people were involved in the production.
With handwritten notes that go a long way. I just want to say
handwritten
that.
Handwritten notes go a long way.
I know.
Patreon members know. No, they've been sending these out, and some of them have started to show up online, and because the letters say things specific to, hey, thanks for working on this project, it kind of alluded and got everybody talking about the possibility that, hey, they were about to wrap production. I'm not going to talk too much about that because I know that's one thing that John wants to talk specifically about. But I do think that this is a nice gesture from them. It's really cool. They have a couple jackets on there. I know everybody wants that crew jacket, right? One that I want to talk about though is the there were these bottles that had like sand and like beans and things, and everybody just went like nuts, like trying to speculate. I heard Jedi Eatery at one point, and it's like, what? Jedi Eater, like,
yeah,
like Rancor
from Force Awakens. Yeah,
oh, weird. I saw Eatery like a place where the Jedi go to
Dexter,
hang out.
Jetster's.
Well, the sand
diner.
Supposedly is from Jakku because it was like from where this journey started, but it could be Tatooine. Okay.
But it turns out
it could also be just where Episode 9 started, and whatever the heck desert planet they are was first on location for shot.
But it sounds like, you know, John
that's where
knows
this production. Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that. The point was is that the owner of those products came back out and said, you know, hey, this isn't exactly what it is, but I want to talk a little bit about what I do know. These aren't from anything. There's no clues here, but I can talk a little candidly about this and that. But before we get into all that, John, I want to hear what you had to say about this and how this speculation train just went buck wild.
Yeah, so
people are so hungry for content. JJ, you started a Twitter account. Help us out here.
Yeah.
So it turns out the sand.
You got one to your name, JJ. One tweet to your name.
Right. Two tweets. He did that, and then he did like the Time's Up thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying one Star Wars.
Oh, he did.
Tweet.
Okay.
Right. It turns out the sand vials thing were fake. Someone added those to the photo to make it juicier for themselves or whatever.
Why? Imagine JJ is like, I didn't give you that.
You know why? I think a couple different people tweeted out their gifts and they're like, well, let me take it the extra mile to get attention for myself or something, you know?
Oh my God, people are so lame.
But, you know, no one's ever gonna, like, JJ's not sending people home with sand from Jordan. That's probably even illegal for all we know.
I guarantee it's so, clothes, right? Probably clothes a hat.
Yeah, they get
a bad robot.
The jacket, the sweatshirt, the letter, that's all real, right? So people are, you know, rumors start going around where people are like, oh, that means filming is going to be done soon. That means we're getting the title soon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked about this more in depth on my rumor review on Patreon. But, you know, the bottom line here is that, you know, you have thousands of people or however many that work on these movies. Someone could have been done with their job in this movie in August, last August, and they could have gotten their jacket and their note. Just because people are getting stuff now, or even if it's, Christmas holiday gifts. I mean, you know, from everything I've heard and I've been told, this movie has at least another month left of filming.
Imagine if you didn't get something and you worked on that film. You're like, how come Bob got a jacket?
Right, yeah. Or yeah, it's like Toby in The Office. He doesn't get his Christmas robe. Yeah. But, you know, people start going crazy now. And then you have people saying like, oh, you know, we'll find out what this is going to be in a couple of weeks. And then you have certain accounts going up saying we're getting this in a couple of weeks and the filming's ending. Like, people immediately hear something and they then say this is fact. And that drives people nuts because then you see these accounts and they get 10,000 retweets and then everyone who your uncle, your mom, your cousin, your dad, who don't even like Star Wars that much, come to tell you, hey, did you hear Star Wars is done filming? Yeah. And you're like, ah! So,
sounds like you're coming from personal experience.
And the more
John.
People who say it, the more true it is.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, the bottom line is the movie still has about a month left of filming, as far as I understand it. You know, just because you see these gifts coming out doesn't mean that person could be done with their job. And that's
it. I guarantee Lucasfilm's going to announce when it's done, guys. I promise you. They've done it in the past where they're like,
well, of course,
filming has wrapped. Like, I just wait. They're going to tell you when it's done.
Yeah, they're going to tell you when it's done, and they're going to announce the movie when it's when they're done filming. The title.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the same thing. Like, yeah. Hey, we're proud to announce that Star Wars Episode 9, blank, 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 has officially
wrapped. Fate of the Galaxy has officially wrapped.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
Exactly. So, like, I think that that almost could be the same tweet or the same announcement.
Yeah, like, you had Ron Howard flip the sign over. He's like, we just wrapped photography for Solo. Yep. Here's the sign. Bing, bing, boom. And Chewie hands it to him. The tweet from all the announcements. The only one that was before was Rogue One, and that was a different animal, I think. People kind of already knew that movie was going on.
They did that at Celebration, I thought.
Yeah, it was before that movie even started filming, they announced the title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a different animal. But all the other ones, it was immediately after Principal finished filming. Now, this movie's still going to be filming, from what I understand, on at least one set at Pinewood, and then they're going to be probably doing some reshoots and stuff like that and callbacks.
Mark hasn't done his stuff yet.
He has done a week of filming, and he apparently has more to go.
But I'm saying, like, his other stuff that he had mentioned, he still needs to do. Like, he's going to tell you if he's there. He's not quiet about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, bottom line, just because the gifts are coming out doesn't mean filming's ending. I mean, it may be ending soon, but doesn't mean it's over now.
Could you imagine, all right, John, by the way, if you, you're tweeting out like, oh, it's Fate of the Galaxy, which I thoroughly agree that it's a great title, and JJ sees it, and he's like, how did he get it? How does he know? Or
he changes it?
Exactly. Like, he changes it. He's like, it, like,
The Force Awakens.
Kathy, is there any way? Is there, I know. Is there any way we could change a title?
This
right
Johnny
now?
Hoey like, guy knows like, everything.
Hey, Bob. So it turns out, title was out there, and you know, he's a really passionate guy, and he tweeted a lot, and you know, he has a lot of passion for it, and you know, we appreciate that kind of thing. But can we change the title to like The Force Awakened or something like that, like past tense, because it awakens. That
we
or
talked about this last week. Force Awakens two.
No, Star Wars three.
Episode 9. Yeah.
Hello, Bob.
Hello,
Bob. he must have lost
Lacey put that phone call in the gray, like the old E reenactments. I love that. That was good.
I was like, how can I make this different? And I was like, I'm going to go infomercial.
You know, it's always, he's very nervous to talk to Bob Iger. So he was like, hello, Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob. He must have dropped the call. Must have been in a tunnel or something. Yeah. I'm turning into Michael Jackson.
No, you sound like the old man from Family Guy.
You want a popsicle? No, that's a different voice. Yeah. All right, Lacey, I'm going to ask you real quick. Do you buy in at all to any of the other stuff that this person was saying about, like, hey, we were on set and it looks like gigantic. Like, I think people are going to be surprised. Do you buy that he was actually there, that he saw this stuff? There was another thing, too.
One more thing, right?
I want to mention. Well,
he mentioned a Han thing. Because he said that his wife worked on the set.
I know that he mentioned that him and someone else he was with had different opinions on The Last Jedi, but they were both happy with what they were seeing on stage. Mm. And in fact, like, I think he said, like, one of them, like, was crying or was like
everyone's
very
crying.
Moved or something.
You know what's
like
weird?
That.
It sounds exactly like what Kevin Smith said.
That's what I'm saying, guys. Like,
that's what I'm kind of laying out there. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Does this hold water because it's also, you know, the same thing that somebody else said, or is it bullcrap?
Right.
Because it's the same thing that somebody else said.
I'm going to go back to this again. I think people are hungry/thirsty for content right now, and they're literally just grasping for straws because they don't know what else to talk about.
At the end
that's
of his
why
message,
we're talking about this.
He writes like Snoochie Boochies, just like completely rips off Kevin
Look,
Smith.
It's obvious it's that these sets are huge. Thing. We've had multiple sources at Lucasfilm and at Disney saying that these are the biggest sets they've ever done.
Kevin Smith said it's the biggest movie set he's ever seen anywhere.
Ever seen. So for him to say that and then someone to come out and be like, they're bigger than I've ever seen. Well, obvious, bro. Come on, guys.
It's not like he's directing a movie. It's like he's directing a small city, I think was the quote. Or small town.
They're going big
like
for
that.
The last one, guys.
And you know what's great? I don't want to get too off the path here. Right. I'm starting to sound like JJ now. I'm like,
you sound like Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. You don't hear a peep about Kathleen Kennedy. Think about the last time you heard from Kathleen Kennedy.
Steady, John. Yeah. Steady.
Lacey, using the booba.
That's my new thing, John. Every time you go off course, I'm going to be like, study, study.
It's because she's busy. I mean, honestly, like, I don't really feel like we got Kathleen Kennedy coming out like every week during Last Jedi, was she?
I also think if I was her, I would lay low just for the sake of, like, don't make this about me. Let's focus on what's important here, which is the story at the end of the series.
If I was her, I would not do that. I'd be like, yep, everything's great.
I'd lay low. I'd put it on JJ.
Here I am.
Yo, you guys hear about that renewed contract?
I don't think.
What up?
I don't think Kathleen
Kennedy. She has those like confetti cannons. She's like.
I don't think Kathleen Kennedy.
She has
likes
a gold
JJ
chain
Abrams.
That says like whatever it is, like 4 more years or something. She's like showing it off.
I don't think she's a JJ. I don't think her and JJ get along. But that's. Let's leave that out.
Well,
there.
I like to think that everybody gets along there. Because everything's sunshine and rainbows in my world. So
as long as the movie is not drama, like the Solo and Rogue One, I don't care if people don't get along. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Well, I know there's rumors that JJ and Ryan don't get along.
That's BS, I think. But
again, I just said rumor. I specified that with rumor. But yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to something that's really exciting that just came out.
Lacey, you know what my favorite Fleetwood Mac album is?
Landslide?
Rumors.
No.
You know what my favorite...
That's a song. Isn't Landslide's on an
Paramore
album?
Paramore?
Yeah, it is.
Song is?
That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Paramore record? Rumors? Is that right? No? I don't know. I thought they
Rumors is a Lindsay Lohan song.
Paramore stinks.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. All right, guys. We got another topic. And this one's very near and dear to the Resistance broadcast.
No, to you, James. When this came out, I was excited for you.
But James, I don't know. James, have you been watching The Resistance at all?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
He loves it. So, I've watched a couple episodes, but he loves it.
I didn't know that Rebels was more his thing, so I wasn't positive. Okay.
Star Wars is my thing, John.
Yeah, right, John.
Just read. The
All right. Star Wars Resistance. It's such a weird thing because on right now, because we're recording at a specific time, we're going to talk about the trailer, right? But as of the episode airing, the thing came out yesterday. You guys all saw it. It's pretty much everybody has already seen this first episode.
How good was that, guys?
Yeah, how good was that episode, guys? It was so awesome.
When they did the thing?
It was just like the trailer, which I love too. Let's talk a lot about the trailer.
The trailer is really, it's done really well by Trailer Dude on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah, this trailer is awesome because I think this officially makes John the winner of like what is the Resistance show going to be like, because this pushed it way closer to Rebels than I ever
thought
it was going to be.
This caught me off. So caught me off guard.
Yeah. There's so many things in this trailer that are nuts. You know, there was also another like little trailer too, where they have like the giant monster that comes out and it's attacking the Colossus and all this. And they didn't really show that in this mid-season trailer, except for like a giant eye. That's all you really saw. But I think that's
like
because
a Kraken?
The stuff that they wanted to focus on. Yeah. Like a Kraken, like the bigger fish, but, there's so many like callback moments and connectivity in this trailer. And then on top of that, like it's so much heavier because of that connectivity. I mean, we've all seen it. It's the Hux moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, midway, so good.
Midway through this trailer, like you're watching it and you're like, okay, cool. The Aces, the First Order, right? They're bumbling along. They're just having fun and they're falling 20 feet and they're not getting hurt. It's a cartoon show, whatever. And and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we get this Hux speech and you're like, that's familiar.
And the tempo changes in the music. It's like,
yeah.
Gets dark.
And this confirms that within the first season, we're going to be post Force Awakens. So this happens, Force Awakens happens during this first season. And I'm going to guess it's at the end of the season because I think they don't want to get, because Force Awakens happens so close to Last Jedi.
Like the
right?
next day, if not 2 days later.
Just a few days later. So it happened so close to Last Jedi that if they get too close to this during this, then the also confirmed season 2 of Resistance would start again in the fall, all before episode 9. And they don't want to reveal anything that's happening there. But
I wonder how that's going to go, because you have to assume that like when this is all going on, Rey's out there doing her thing, Are they going to meet, run into Finn?
Could be. Like, we could see some of these characters show up, because now that the Resistance is so tiny after The Last Jedi, that the Resistance TV show, whoever is the main core group of that television show, is still out there. They're just not on that ship being chased by the First Order, by the Supremacy. But let me get to you guys, because I feel like I could talk about this for hours.
I bet you could.
The Hux thing was really exciting for me. I think that the Hux speech is one of those moments in Star Wars that no one will ever forget. He was, J.J. Abrams said Domhnall Gleeson was amazing in that. I think he did it in like only a couple takes too. Like, he's just intense. Mm-hmm. That sets the tone of the First Order and how serious it is.
I need that Hux back in 9. We've talked
so
about that.
So, is that Domhnall Gleeson redoing it, or is that the original? I think they use the clip too.
Yeah, it makes sense, because you need, like you said, you need that the continuity. He only did the speech.
Yeah, and they'll give him credit, I bet, in the credits. But yeah, no, they definitely just used the clip from the movie, the recording. But it just makes me wonder who else is going to show up. And then also there was one clip of like BB-8 in the water, like driving around. Like, he's like one of those like jet things that you see in like the Italian Job, like when they hold on to it in the water.
I don't think it was. No, I thought it was another Resistance droid. It's a BB unit, but
could be two BB.
How can they go in the water like that, though?
I don't know. R2 did like 20 million things. That
stuff,
been like,
I'm not a big fan of that.
Was he
stuff.
Doing
I'm calling
that.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. Shenanigans. I also didn't like when BB-8 was taking over an AT-ST on the Supremacy either. But
yeah, you know what though? Different BB droids could probably do different things. Like, maybe BB-8 can't get in the water, but that one could, because for whatever special reason,
BB-8 could run a bed and breakfast. He could play b-ball.
He was like a,
then they're like flying, I mean, in space, like, at some point. It looked kind of like Wally and Eve.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you're talking crazy.
But besides that, like, it was very fast paced. It didn't seem as jokey that, like, when we first initially got introduced to Resistance, where we said, like, I'm going to be a pilot, like, talking like that. There was definitely a more serious tone with Leia being like, look, we need you. We need help with this kind of thing. And I think, I forget who it was, someone tweeted out that the costumes and jewelry that Leia wears in Resistance are similar to the ones that she wears in TFA and into Last Jedi.
Yeah,
so
she has almost the same exact outfit on at the end of the first half.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting how these things interweave with each other and what kind of background information you're going to get from this show. And it makes me want to go back and watch The Force Awakens and see if any mentions are made that you didn't pick up on the first time. Because you know that these things were probably in discussions with around TFA. So one would hope, or if they came later, maybe they listed out things that they could weave in.
Yeah, remember that line where Rey was like, oh, I've always heard about the flying aces.
Did she say that?
No.
I was going to say, I don't remember that one.
So, I think James is right. I think the Starkiller strike on the Hazian system is going to be the final episode of the season.
And that's his family.
Exactly. That's going to be the cliffhanger. I lost my family. I'm an orphan. Hey, Star Wars, let's do that again. But it works. It works.
I'm close to that, but I don't think it'll be the final episode. Oh, I think it'll be like when they killed Maul.
It'll be the final
episode.
Like,
it'll be close to the final episode. It'll be the final episode. But not. No, all right. All right.
I think what they'll do, I think maybe the series will only have 2 seasons. And I think what they'll do is they'll use season 2 to show why people didn't respond to Leia's call. They'll explain where they were and what happened.
I agree with that, because that's the big question that we've been saying since The Last Jedi. It's like, why didn't people show up?
You know, it's still a children's show. They're not going to wipe out all these people like we thought they were for Rebels. They'll find a way to, you know, say where they were and what happened, and they'll explain why no one answered the call, whether someone disrupted the signal, they made it look like people received the signal. They'll figure out a way to do that.
Then they'll
roll that
into... The First
Order
jammed the signal so that like it went out, but it couldn't receive anything.
John, I hate to bring this up.
No, hold on. They said the signal was received, so they
it
would
was,
have to do something to make
up.
It look like it was received. That's what they would have to do.
Yeah. So, John, in your rumor review, you talked about a rumor where an alien race is going to show up.
The Grisk?
What if
the Grisk?
They send out this alert being like, guys, we need your help. And the reason they can't come help is because they're battling with someone else somewhere else.
They're battling the Grisk.
Episode 9.
Nope.
Thrawn. No.
No.
Now, again, they won't do that because nobody's going to be watching the show and then leading into 9 being like, ah, yes. But could they?
Yeah, there's no way this show is doing anything that people need to watch it to watch episode 9. So people
can throw
that.
I'm not saying
right
that, but they could reference it.
I know you're not saying that. I'm just talking to everybody out there. Hey, guys.
Oh, welcome. I didn't know you were here.
Yeah. But
I don't know. It's a big
James,
question.
I'm excited because the first half ended the exact way I wanted it to, and I was hoping it was going to continue, and I'm glad to see that it might get a little serious now.
Yeah, and they said that it was going to run alongside The Force Awakens, and I remember thinking in my head, like, oh, there's no way they're going to address it. And then they say it, you see Hux's thing, and you're like, oh, they're going there. Like, we're in this.
That's the thing. Yeah. Is like, I have so many questions about this. Like, as far as, I don't know. I have something
so
a second ago,
questions.
And I'm like blanking. Yeah, it's just like, it's crazy. Like,
maybe it's time you do a Resistance recap every week and you go over the episode and let people know your thoughts and what you think is going to happen next.
Nah.
Oh.
Never mind. Sorry, guys. I tried.
Till way later.
Or you guys can read my reviews of the episodes on StarWarsNewsNet.com.
You could.
No, I don't know. I might do that. I just think it's super interesting because we had Disney at one point saying, or we were like, oh, they're not going to kill off all the characters, right? They wouldn't do that. It's Disney. And then Rogue One killed off all the characters. And then we're like watching Rebels and we're like, oh, I don't know. Disney kills off all the characters. Maybe they will. And then they kind of didn't, right?
They didn't.
Ezra didn't die.
Two
Sabine didn't die. Hera didn't
two
die.
Two different things, though.
Zeb didn't die. I understand. So then we're starting to think like, well, maybe then this other Disney cartoon show won't kill off these characters either. Okay, well then where are all these characters, you know, leading into episode 9? This might be another chance for these characters. Maybe this is the time when they bring in these television characters into episode 9?
Huh. Maybe. What if Kaz shows up in 9?
They can't.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
why not?
I know. It doesn't make sense.
You could have
like,
a character show up with no background.
You know why
Holdo,
they can't?
Tico. You have all these characters.
There's so much they have to do with our
Bilbo.
Current characters that if you're going to try to throw more of these characters
but
in,
listen,
it's going
to
convolute.
But they don't have to be main characters.
But wait.
They could just be like
Rogue One.
In the background,
you
right?
had a lot of young kids that saw Rogue One that probably hadn't seen anything except Force Awakens, right? You had people fly in. That were original fighter pilots in the original trilogy that when they showed up on screen, all the older people went, oh my God, gold leader, red leader. You could have Kaz fly in and say his call sign and people would be like, oh my God, it's Kaz.
Okay. So you're all right. I thought you meant here's Kaz and he's going to be talking to Rey.
I'm saying like, what if it's the final battle and these guys show up? And they're just like,
and
Kaz is here.
And Kaz is still like, a cartoon, like in James's photo?
No.
No, but I'm saying like,
hey,
okay, like in Rogue One, for instance, Cassian shows up and he has a big group of people, right?
Yeah.
None of those people like really talk, but like one of those people could be like, oh, I think that's him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we
see
a little bit more about like in the show, like he's there at the base. He feels it's important to go with Rey on the final battle.
It could be someone saying, we're with you, Poe.
Yeah.
And there's
like,
Kaz.
They don't even have to have a line. Like, Chopper didn't have a line.
Right.
Like, he was just there.
Right.
The ghost didn't have a line. It was just there, and it was important that it was there.
No, that's fine.
But
that if
know.
You want to do a quick little Easter egg, cool.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
I'm not saying, like, Kaz isn't a big role in the movie.
All this from the mid-season one trailer.
Yeah, we probably got to move on.
Yeah. All right, guys. So there's so much more to talk about. I do this thing sometimes where I talk about little things and not enough to thing and Scoundrels Rundown, and John hates me for it now. So, John, take it away.
All right. I'm actually going to try to do this in a minute, and we'll see if I can pull
one
that
minute.
Off.
It's called a Resistance 60.
Okay. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Did you bypass the compressor?
I bypassed the compressor.
Okay, she did. Okay. All right, ready, Scotty? Ready? 3, 2, 1. punch it!
Punch it!
Punch it!
We always delay. I hate it. All right, and
I think it delays because
my minute starts now. Guys, we already talked about it a little bit, but the General Grievous Black Series figure is available for pre-order right now. Not sure why you need to pre-order it, because there's probably going to be 5 billion of them on the store shelves pretty soon, but you can still pre-order it and probably have it delivered to your house on the day it's available. I'm not sure, but check it out. I think it's going to come with some lightsabers. Lacey checked it out at Comic-Con. Thought it looked pretty cool. She even guessed what the reveal was, so good for you, Lacey. Next, the comics. They are ripping and rolling. We have Age of Republic Jango Fett comic and the Star Wars number 59. You can check out the reviews of both of those by Jelena Biden and Kyle Larson at StarWarsNewsNet.com. That's how I keep up to date on all of my comic stuff, so go check it out there. Guys, Star Wars Celebration guest announcements begin. Autograph sessions. We have sound editor Matthew Wood, Janina Gavankar, James Arnold Taylor, Christopher Sean, Susan McGrath, and Scott Lawrence from Star Wars Resistance. That is your Scoundrels Rundown for this week. Let's send it over to Lacey for Ask the Resistance. Chewie, get us out of here.
And time. I don't know how long that was.
Did anybody actually record that?
I don't know. Guys, first of all, I did
I'm sure you made it.
General Grievous cracked at New York Comic Con with Hasbro. I was so proud. Guys, the video's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
Wait, what just happened?
Yes.
I blacked out.
I guessed the figure correctly.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but it was like, it's a fan favorite, and you're like, please tell me it's Grievous.
No, I said, I think I know what it is. And they're like, really? Oh, say it on three. Yeah. And I said, Grievous. And they were like, I was like, guys, I listen to you.
Lacey was really that girl it. At all the kid birthday parties that told everybody how the magician did his tricks.
I actually was the only girl in the room. And by girl, I mean woman, because I'm a grown human. But I was very proud, because none of those boys knew what they were talking
about. Wait, you're
about.
Not a Twi'lek?
Nah. All right, guys, time for Ask the Resistance. You've got Star Wars questions. We've got some Star Wars answers for you.
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
So first is Martinus Chacon.
Chacon.
And he submitted this via our episode on YouTube. Thank you so much for participating. So first, he said, hi, all the way from France. Bonjour, Martinus.
Merci.
He says, this might be one of the best Star Wars shows. Oh my God, you guys are so nice. You're also cool. Or you're so nice, not we're so nice. You're also cool. James is so fun. John's so reflected, I'm assuming reflective. And Lacey's the one we can all relate to in the group. Really? I appreciate that. That's so nice.
So everybody in the group is nuts.
Maybe. All right. So what would I not give to watch all the movies with you three? Incredible ambiance.
Ah, thanks,
you
man.
You can
thanks,
watch man. The movies with us via our Patreon if you'd like. We True. Have our Phantom Menace up there for mm-hmm. only $2. You can access it. We're rolling up into celebration with 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace, so it's actually prime time to watch.
And we're close to our next comment.
We are, which is A New Hope. Okay, so his question is, do you think JJ has adopted to Ryan's visual style in regards to episode 9 in order to keep visual continuity?
That is a good question, by the way.
That is a great question. So in The Force Awakens, it's kind of got like a bluish tone, and then you go into Ryan's, which is more true. It's like definitely a brighter, whiter, it's like a true tone movie. Like everything is what you think the colors would be. Very red. A lot of red in The Last Jedi, which the title's red. Do I think he's going to adopt it? You know, it's hard to say, only because JJ has a very different aesthetic. Like he likes a very blue tone. If you look at a lot of his work, he's done that for everything. So I can't say that, only because directors of photography and different directors have different thoughts and editors have different thoughts as well. I think it's really going to depend where the movie's taking place on where, how things are going to look. Because if you're in a desert, you're not going to really have a blue tone unless you're at night. You're going to have more of a warm tone. And then if you're in a snow planet, it's going to be more blue tones. So I think it's really going to depend where they go. But I don't think they're going to look so drastically different that you can't watch them back to back, because that's the continuity that you're looking for. So I hope that answered your question a little bit. Thank you so much. The next question, do you guys have anything to add to that? No.
James probably, I mean, he likes that stuff more than I do, but JJ's going to do it. JJ. He's going to do his thing. He's not worried about what Ryan did, whether he loved it or not. He's doing a JJ Abrams
movie.
Right.
And the director of photographers have certain looks, like Bradford Young, who did Solo, had a very yellow tone to his movies, which looked really cool. And like he had a very certain look to it. And he did Blade Runner too, which had a very certain look to it. So I really think it's what you want.
And the art director for Episode 9 is the guy who did art direction for Blade Runner 2049. So then you're entering that realm and all that stuff. So
Yep.
I think the long short of it is just that if JJ, if Ryan Johnson didn't match to JJ in the first place, then they're not really worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they really did.
Ryan would have had to match to JJ if they were concerned with that.
Right.
If they would have in the first place, then we wouldn't even be having this discussion because they would have forced Ryan to do it like JJ did. You know. So I don't think it matters. I think they're just going to have each movie be the tone for whatever the tone of the narrative is. So.
Yeah, recently someone actually put their scenes next to each other, and you can tell that JJ's is a little bit more blue. I personally love the way The Force Awakens looks, but I understand why Ryan did what he did with, like.
Well, also armor. That scene that we had to pick up right here with Rey and Luke, it was cloudy when JJ filmed theirs, and then it was sunny the day they did the one with Daisy and Mark for The Last
Jedi.
That's
what happens when you have outside shots. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just something they had to roll with. I guess the sun came out.
Lacey, they probably should have filmed all three of those movies at the same time.
They should have.
Even the trees walked in those friggin' movies.
I stand by that, guys. I said in our Patreon video, like, I think they should have shot these all at the same time. But what do I know? I'm not in the movie business. Okay. So next, Derek Saunier at underscore Derek Saunier asks, isn't that what it is? Sunny? Yep.
I just mean his handle. He's so close. Oh. The underscore so close.
You know what? Poor Derek probably went to go get his handle, and some guy has it and has been sitting on it since 06.
Congrats to Kyle Larson to step up his game and get his handle. Good job, Kyle.
Did he reach out to Kyle and get it?
He changed it. It wasn't taken. He changed his handle. He got his handle. Kyle. Good job, Kyle.
He does the comic reviews for Star Wars News now. He's a lovely human being. I've also met him. We had this conversation earlier as well. I've met almost everybody.
Oh, wow.
That's really.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
It's ridiculous.
All
right, what did Derek say?
Derek asked, with the success of Into the Spider-Verse, do you think it's possible Lucasfilm could make a Star Wars animated movie for the big screen? Or with Disney Plus coming, do you think any feature-length animated movie will debut there? I'm going to go to James on this one because, James, I know you love the animated pieces. John and I, too, but, like, you definitely love these. So you're a big Ezra fan. Do you think they'll eventually make a big animated movie for the big screen or Disney Plus?
This is it. The best question. Derek, this is awesome. I read this question and I was like, this blows my mind more than the Resistance trailer. I don't have any clue. I haven't even really contemplated Disney doing an animated feature film. And if I really thought about it before Spider-Man, I would have said no. I would have said, I think they've tried it. Big screen is not the place for animated Star Wars, but I'm telling you, everything has changed with Spider-Man and it winning like best animated at the Golden Globes. Not that the Golden Globes
matter. I think it's going to win an Oscar.
Don't pay attention.
Call them that.
I'm just saying, well, I think it will because it's the best movie. It's the best animated movie this year, hands down. Mm-hmm. Like, right, you know, the big contenders would be the Incredibles 2 and Wreck-It Ralph. But it's they're
new,
not going to beat
it. It's different. That soundtrack is.
It has to be this movie. And if it isn't that movie, it's a snub. I'm telling you. But here's the thing is everything has changed. And I think that this opens up the very real possibility. And you also bring in Disney Plus, which is very smart and very up to date, considering we know that they're not going to be releasing $100 million feature films in theaters, live action or on the streaming service. Bob Iger said that. But this is different. This is an animated feature film. Could they be doing animated Star Wars as a, you know, 50 million or something like that, you know, like something smaller that they could pull this off? I'm going to go. Yes, I think this is a very real possibility. And I think if they even slightly keep into mind what they've been doing with, say, the Galaxy of Adventures, is that what it's called? Star Wars. Yeah.
Galaxy of Stories?
That.
Oh, no, right. Galaxy Stories, Adventures.
Stories of the Galaxies. Yes. Galaxy of Villains.
Trust
and Heroes.
Your instincts, no, Bainey.
No, I know what you're talking about.
But if it's anywhere close to that, that stuff has been like heavily praised for the animation. And then
I wish they'd make
Spider-Verse
the figures look like that.
Yeah,
Hasbro.
I really think this is a strong possibility of Star Wars coming in again with animation and trying to recap on maybe their mistake of the Clone Wars movie. Let's not talk about it, but theatrically released Star Wars movie, and it completely failed in comparison to what everything should be with the name Star Wars. So Scratch that off the table. Put this new animated film in theaters or in the streaming service. Yes, do it. Derek, you nailed it.
Awesome. Next, we have Kai Rai Ren. Ooh, at Ryan Ryan Scott 00.
What's and up,
he,
Ryan?
He used to be,
hey,
you know,
Ryan.
He used to be something different, didn't
it's
he?
Ryan, it's Ryan it Syme, our Kai patron.
Is it Ryan Simi?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan Simi. Hey.
Ryan,
you just changed
Ryan,
it to
what would
Kai
you
Rai
what would
Ren.
You do without me? They just forget all about you.
Why did you change
know.
It for
no,
Ryan
I'm so glad
Simi.
You're here,
I
John.
Know it's Ryan
I really
Simi.
Am.
James would be like, we have a new listener.
I would. Every week I'd be like, okay, this guy's never been on before. Scotty J-Ro.
It's just Scotty J-Ro. Like six.
Welcome to the show.
All right. Like Ryan asks.
Podcast.
I'm starting to get the race. Feeling we don't get a title until we get a trailer at Celebration in April. Could they really wait this long? John, what do you think, our trailer guy? I ate sugar, so I have nothing to say about this.
I am no trailer guy. I just try to make logical guesses, and I
so did I, and I ate sugar for it.
I think we're getting a title as soon as we talked about this a little earlier, but as soon as principal photography wraps, my guess, I'm still hanging on to end of February. I'm saying 2/22 Friday. Make a little poetic or a rhyme. It's like poetry, it rhymes. I think
like
we'll get
poetry,
a title then.
Rhymes.
But yeah, I don't think we're going to get a trailer until Celebration, guys. I've heard that one exists.
That's
so sad. People are sending out, people who know things send out their cryptic tweets saying one exists. I believe it. I said this on my rumor review too. I believe that. But I'm beginning to think they're going to wait till Celebration, and then they still have 8 months and they'll start really firing up that promotional campaign.
Did
and
they wait till Celebration for Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Because I was there for that.
And they'll release an exclusive poster like they did at Celebration. They'll give you that Celebration poster, and then you're going to start getting the campaign rolling after that. But I think we'll title end of February. I hope it's Fate of the Galaxy. If not, whatever. I'm sure JJ will come up with a better one. And your first, I agree with you. I think first teaser, trailer, whatever you want to call it, will be at Star Wars Celebration.
I want to throw one quick thing in there. Everybody's saying, are they going to end game this? They're not going to end game it because the title for Endgame was a big problem. They were like, oh, shoot, we built it up. Everybody wants to know what the title is. We're scared it's going to cause all these problems.
Yeah, the
People
Russos
aren't
built
like
it up.
And so they did something different with it, which they tried to release the title and the trailer at the same time so that inevitably if the title let down, people wouldn't be talking about that. They'd be talking about the trailer, which isn't going to let down. It's a strategic move. They're not going to do that for Star Wars. You're going to get the title first, then a trailer later.
Right.
That's good insight.
It will be separate. It will not be the same
That's
thing.
That's smart.
Same time.
Good comment. All right. Thanks for your question, Ryan Simi. Next is Shannon Smith at Shannon Nick Smith. And she asks, which writer would you like to see write a standalone film? I'd personally love Claudia Gray to write a Leia movie. And we can all answer this pretty quickly. I'm going to let John go first. That's a great answer, by the way, Shannon. I think Claudia Gray is fabulous, and she would do a great Leia movie.
I talked to some people about this, and they kind of convinced me. And I'm just going to say Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say that. Go ahead.
Really?
And what standalone would you like them to do? Do you have
it
a
It doesn't
specific?
Matter. Give them the Boba Fett movie. I don't know. As long as it's a legit standalone, whatever. Not Kenobi, though. I think that maybe not Kenobi. But yeah.
Which one wrote Into the Spider-Verse? Phil Lord?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, James. What do you think?
So I wasn't thinking outside. I was thinking Star Wars novel writers because the Claudia Gray thing.
Yeah.
So I would actually stick to Lucino. If I had to pick one of the novelists to write. I would have Lucino write that gangster Sith mob movie for Plagueis like he did the book, because that book is super well received, and I think he could do a really good job writing that story in a canon version of that story.
You think she meant what book writer? Hmm.
Well, because she said which writer, and then she later, and then she said, I personally would love Claudia Gray.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
Okay. A Star Wars writer. Yeah, so not just like writer in general, but it doesn't specifically state that. So, but I'm gonna stick with Star Wars novelist being the category. Yeah, which one would I want?
John, do you have a novelist? Lacey.
No, not in particular. I have ones that I would not want to, but I won't say that because I'm being polite.
Oh, okay. Well, writer-wise, I know who you'd say, but I'm not going to say it. Claudia Gray.
I don't.
He would definitely.
DM me. Slide into my DMs.
Maybe I'll say it on the Patreon page for our people that
actually, there's two that I would definitely not want to write.
I know who they are. I totally know.
Okay.
So Claudia Gray, I think, would be a perfect person to write something. She has such heartfelt, like, she does really good internal dialogue. I still want a Ben Solo book from her. I'm like, dying, please. She wants to do it. Just let her do it.
Yep.
I think that would be an interesting movie. I'd love to see from the period that he turns on Luke to the point he gets to the First Order. I think that would be a cool movie.
Lacey, you're gonna get that book by her after episode 9, by the way.
Thanks, Claudia. I hope so. Writer, though, like screenwriter, I would definitely choose Phil Lord, Chris Miller. I think they're fabulous. And I really, really am sad that they didn't get to finish Solo. It makes me so sad.
Lacey, I'm not, but let me tell you this right now, Lacey. We're going to be at New York Comic Con next year, maybe together finally. And they're going to reveal Claudia Gray's Ben Solo book, and you're going to go nuts.
I'm going to lose it. I might cry.
Dude, that's the perfect place to do it. If they, because
it's
they
right
have
before
that,
the movie. Yeah.
It'll be right before 9 comes out, and they'll say, next summer, coming Ben Solo. Tales of a...
Not even
tales
that,
of
I'm
a,
just saying like...
An upset orphan.
The fact that they're like
he's not an
there.
Orphan.
Like the fans.
Well, if you say he was abandoned or whatever.
No, it's like his angsty teenage years.
Okay. So teenage angst has paid off well, and now I'm bored and old.
It'll be like called like Ben Solo like Into the Darkness or something.
Well, I hope not. Isn't that a Star Trek movie?
I don't know. Is it? I don't like Star Trek.
Probably.
I'm trying to think of like other screenwriters that
Ben
are
Solo,
like, I want to say Joss Whedon, but Joss Whedon kind
of
blew out right now.
Ben Solo. How about this one? Lacey, here you go. Ben Solo, Son of Darkness.
I hate you.
Hey, if I was going to give a screenwriter, my first thought right away, I had to look him up because I don't know who he is, but Hampton Francher. He wrote Blade Runner 2049, and that movie's a masterpiece, and I think that it was perfectly the way that it connected. And
James,
everything.
who wrote the Galaxy?
Someone write a Star Wars movie. I'm going to have someone who can perfectly write a thought-provoking, connective piece.
Who wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy movies?
I thought that
Galaxy Quest. That
no, Guardians of the Galaxy was James Gunn.
He directed. I don't know if he wrote it.
No, he wrote it.
No, I think he wrote it.
Oh, I picked
too,
James Gunn. Then.
That's
James Gunn.
Okay.
I think that Ryan Murphy would be great. The guy that does American Horror Story and like Glee, and he did the murder of Versace.
Wait, he did thing. Glee?
Yeah, he did Glee. Yeah.
Bye.
Boom.
Look, I don't care what anybody says. He has a wonderful sense of humor. He's witty AF, and I think he would be great for something like a Han Solo movie where it needs some wit, and it could be super dark.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not booing you or anything.
You don't even watch any of those shows, so I don't know why you're booing me.
I don't, because they're terrible.
You're booing me
because
I'm
like
right.
One season. I was like, get out of here.
All right. So next
I'm
is
you because you're right.
That's our general.
Question.
Patreon general, Carmelo. Mello
hey.
Runs in Jedi robes at a gray Jedi. Hey, Mello, what's up? He asks, all of us were admitted as younglings into the Jedi Academy. You pass the trials. Oh, this is like a scenario. You pass the trials and there is a possibility that your opinion of the order has changed. What path would you choose? Jedi? Sith? Grey? Ooh, who hates Grey Jedi? One of us hates them.
There's no such thing as cringe.
There it is. Yeah. I was just waiting for it to happen. Or leave altogether. Bonus, lightsaber type and color. This is a great question. John, you go first.
Lightsaber color. I don't know what type means. Single blade. And it's going to be blue, but I'm going to be a Jedi, but then I'll probably turn Sith because I get angry all the time.
You do.
Yeah, I do. You pure.
What kind of comment was that?
Yeah. can I be a Sith with a blue lightsaber? I guess I can. I'm officially saying I can now.
Well, you can if you want to. It's probably not canon, right, James?
I mean, Darth Vader started off with a blue lightsaber, so there you go.
Did he, though?
I was thinking about my answer. I missed what I'm backing you up on.
That John is a blue Jedi Sith. Like his saber
I'm a blue lightsaber Sith.
Lightsaber Sith.
He's an Avatar Sith. He's a blue Jedi. Okay. I mean, sure, whatever. That's fine. That's cool. He can be blue and then just never like bleed out the crystal. For me, I guess if I was put into the Jedi Academy, I would stay Jedi. Like I would never leave. I wouldn't go Sith.
That means you can't love anyone.
That's fine. Yeah. That's probably better. But the thing is like, I would stay Jedi and my lightsaber color I would hope it would be green. I would imagine it would probably be green, but I took that stupid, glass quiz, and they're trying to tell me I answered villain, and I'm like, get
I think
out
they
of
made
here.
Everybody
that,
villain.
Everyone was a villain. Even Kylo Ren was a villain.
That's crazy. I put all the opposite answers, and I got hero, and I was like, this is bogus. But anyway, the point is that I think it would be green, but ideally, if I could choose my color, it would be amethyst. I love the purple blade. It's so cool.
Enfys?
Samuel L. Jackson's single no. Hilt.
Yeah.
My blade.
Yeah. Just me and this other Rodian Jedi from Heir to the Jedi book, which almost wasn't canon.
So first of all, I think I would make whoever my Jedi teacher was so angry. I'd be like, why? Why? Why are we doing this? Why?
That's what Kanan Jarrus did.
I would have a blue saber staff, which is what Rey will have in 9. And then
you're
I
still
would-
on that?
I am standing by it. I would probably be gray, and I know James is going to be like, ugh, gray. But I can't be a Jedi because I do get emotional, and I don't think I could stay on that straight, narrow path of never loving anyone. That's, like, crazy. And then Sith, I would never be able to kill someone, I don't think. Like, be that angry all the time and, like,
wait till our Star Wars war.
And then, so gray, because I want to do what's right and live, feed from both sides.
Well, the question also doesn't say gray Jedi. It says gray. So it's just like living
day to
day in the in-between, taking things situationally. So
yes. Well, I'd probably be more on the Jedi side. Fair enough. More on the Jedi side.
I think that is a fair answer. And I think these were a wonderful batch of questions tonight.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So guys, we're all set.
Good times. Lots of fun.
Thank you so much for your questions. If you want to be on the show, follow us at RBATSWNN on Twitter and shoot us a question, Star Wars related or Kanan related or Jedi related or Kylo Ren related, whatever you want. Back to you, John.
Yeah, just use the hashtag so we can find it. Hashtag.
Oh, yeah, use hashtag Ask the Resistance.
Yeah. All right, guys. First, one of our generals locked me out of the base because I made a big mistake last Monday and I forgot to thank our generals on Patreon. So thank you to our patron generals. We have Adam Odell. We have Carmelo, a gray Jedi. And we have Val Trichkoff. Val was not the one who locked me out of the base. But
John's outside in the rain, like, guys, I'm
thank
sorry.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you all of our patrons. You guys are really helping us do a lot over there. And if you guys haven't checked out our Patreon page, hop over real quick to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. Just the other day, we posted like four different things. Like, we're very active. We're adamant about giving the best possible Patreon page out there. So go check it
best
out.
Best experience.
Exactly. And it's very immersive. We have a huge community. We have a group chat now. It's awesome.
Yeah, that chat at the $10 tier insanity. Is crazy. It's always full.
My favorite is I always pop in. Someone will say Kylo, and that's when I pop in.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. She knows.
I summon Lacey.
It's like my bat signal.
So guys, it starts at $2 a month. We have five tiers all the way up to $50 a month if you want to be a general. Check it out all the features. If you like it, sign up, join the resistance. We appreciate the support. Guys, for the podcast, as always, free twice a week, Mondays right now and Thursdays on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify. Subscribe, follow, sign up so that you are up to date on all of our latest episodes. And wherever you are watching or listening to this, leave a comment on things you notice in the episode. Or, oh, here's my thoughts on this. Here's
thumbs
my thoughts
up.
On that. John, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Lacey.
Is James a banana?
Yeah, is James. I'm not going to say this episode. Lacey can.
No.
Sometimes people are just chiming in with that. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, leave a comment, like the videos, all that stuff. Subscribe just so that you're up to date. Whatever platform you like, stick with us and you won't miss a show. And it'll be great. If you guys want some of our merch, head to tpublic.com/user/resistancebroadcast. About 40 plus designs. And we have more coming. Look at James right there on YouTube rocking the Gary the Porg t-shirt. That was one of our first designs ever. It's Carrie Fisher's dog wearing a Porg costume, guys.
Classic.
Totally adorable. But yeah, check it out. We have more designs coming, I think, because we have some ideas churning. And we'll James will get to work for you guys. Now, also, guys, make sure you head to StarWarsNewsNet.com. That's where you get all of your news, reviews, editorials, information, and more, including what I mentioned before, the comic book reviews. Our review team is the best, hands down. You have Jordan Pate, Kyle Larson, Jelena Biden, all three of them and more are reviewing all the comic books, the books, and they keep you up to date. If you don't have the time to read this stuff, they fill you in so you're up to date on all the canon. So make sure you not only check out Star Wars NewsNet for the news and all that other stuff, but also that review team, top notch. Great job, guys. Guys, you can find me at Johnny Hoey on Twitter and over at StarWarsNewsNet.com. James, how about you?
Find me on Twitter at Meyer Trunks, MIRAHTRUNKS. It's written right there.
Oh, yeah. I missed mine. Lacey, how about you?
Lacey, yours is going to pop up in... Go.
Oh, hi. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lacey Gillerin. I talk
right
about
there.
Star
there
Wars. On the Patreon page, I'm doing this new thing called Lacey's Outpost. Originally, I was going to make it for everybody, but I've realized it's kind of something cool that I want to be exclusive for our Patreon members. So it's where I... you know, review products and stuff like that. So their first one is the Phantom Menace Monopoly board. I'm kicking up back into the Star Wars NewsNet videos, guys. It's 2019.
Ooh.
New year, new me. They're back. So keep an eye out on those for on our YouTube page. And you can also find them on StarWarsNewsNet.com.
Yes, indeed. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you laughed. We hope you had a good time. We hope you didn't cry too much, but we appreciate you being a part of the resistance and listening. Enjoy your weeks, because we're coming back Thursday, and we are talking about...
Ugh.
Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine, you have done well.
Yes, we're doing a full character dive into Palpatine. We're going to start a kind of new discussion series. Not sure we're going to call it yet. Maybe just simply... a Star Wars discussion, Palpatine, who knows? We'll find out. By the time you listen, you'll know. But thank you guys so much, and we'll see you on Thursday morning with another episode right here on the Resistance Broadcast, and we'll see you around, kids.